Hello?
Yeah, Aunt Elizabeth?
Who is this?
This is your nephew, Bill.
Oh, Bill, what do you want now?
Well, gee, I was kind of wondering if I could borrow some money from you. I'll pay it back.
For what? I gave you $500 last week.
Well, I know,
you
but I'm
going to... You beat it out of me. You punched me in the nose and gave me a bloody nose, and I don't know if I want to give you any more money.
Well, Aunt Elizabeth, look, it was an emergency. I'm going to win it back. I mean, I'm going to earn it back this weekend.
What?
I'm going to earn it back this weekend.
I don't know.
Oh, you rotten old woman. Sometimes I really need...
I don't have any more money to give you.
Well,
leave me alone.
Sounds of Awareness is an interview program discussing topics of interest to people with disabilities and the community at large. I'm Paul Van Dyke. Welcome to Sounds of Awareness. Well, as you may have been able to tell, our topic today is elder abuse. And I want to give special thanks to my friend Kay Kipp, who is the voice of the old lady that we were harassing there, and I was the voice of her nephew, Bill. She does great voice characterizations. Actually, Kay is a counselor who does a lot of work, excellent work, I might add, over at the Ray Hickey Hospice House. Our guest this morning, however, is Diana Crutchmar. She's the Health Services Liaison for Fort Vancouver Convalescent Center, for Park Lido Assisted Living, and for Care Teak Memory Care. And good morning, Diana, and thank you for coming on the program this morning.
Good morning, Paul, and thank you so much for hosting this and for asking me to talk about the terrible epidemic of elder abuse that's taking place here in our community and across the United States.
Well, we hear a lot of things. I mean, gosh, it seems to be an epidemic for a lot of groups, vulnerable groups. You know, I mean, of course, you can't get away from all the Catholic Church stuff, the Boy Scout leader that was messing with little boys. But the vulnerable group for being abused is not so much represented, I think, and that's the elder population.
Absolutely not. And that's the saddest part about this. A minimum of 1 in 9 of Americans over age 60 have experienced some form of elder abuse. Some estimates range as high as 5 million elders are abused every year. And for every 1 case of elder abuse reported to authorities, at least 5 more go unreported.
How do we generally define abuse? I mean, you know, I'm 60 years old, so and I'm married, so, you know, my wife hollers at me sometimes. That's not abuse, though, is it?
That's not abuse. Elder abuse refers to the intentional or neglectful acts by a caregiver or a trusted individual that lead to or may lead to harm of a vulnerable elder. Elder abuse includes physical abuse, emotional abuse, psychological and sexual abuse, as well as financial or material exploitation, and then you have neglect and abandonment. So all of those are different forms of abuse. And the folks, when you're talking about a trusted individual, a lot of the time seniors are alone. Their family members are no longer with them, or family is located in a different part of the country, and our seniors are left to be preyed on by folks who recognize that they're alone and don't have folks to help them out. And trusted and people with bad intents are taking advantage of the trust that an elder extends to them. And in almost 90% of elder abuse and neglect incidences, the perpetrator is usually a family member. And 2/3 of the perpetrators who commit elder abuse are adult children or spouses. And the victims are a wide range. Women and the very old are most likely to be abused. And in some 14,000 allegations of abuse, neglect, or gross negligence, those incidences are reported, unfortunately, in nursing home settings. I work for a nursing home, and I know we strive to do our very best to keep our seniors protected, but this isn't the case in a lot of facilities across the United States. close to 50% of those with dementia experience some form of abuse.
Let me break in here and say that dementia issue, just keep your finger right there on that part of the page, because I want to address that, if I could.
Absolutely.
You generally have people kind of like our example at the beginning of the program. Maybe they've got a life savings, you know, maybe they sold the farm or something in Canada or wherever, and they've got quite a nice little nest egg for what, but they can't remember what they had for breakfast this morning now, and they can't...
Absolutely, and those are the folks that are preyed upon, whether it's by family or by an outsider, such as a caregiver who comes into their home, or maybe even somebody they've befriended. And because they have dementia or cognitive impairments, it's not just dementia like an Alzheimer's dementia. Sometimes folks have had strokes that have caused a cognitive impairment. Sometimes folks have a medical issue that's caused cognitive decline. And those are the things that people pick up on, that somebody is vulnerable, that they can't track what, you know, financial transactions. They're not able to understand the repercussions of contracts they're entering into or things that they're doing. And abusers prey on that. If I take her credit card and charge $7,000 or $8,000, they'll never know because they don't even open their bills. Also, financial scams of demented people. You won the lottery, you send me $3,000, and we'll send you your million-dollar prize. All of these things are exploitation of folks with dementia, but you also have to understand one of the primary things that happens when you age is that you become more dependent on others. And if you don't have trustworthy folks in your life, whether it's family members or outsiders, they take advantage of that dependence that you have for socialization, for functional needs, even for the ability to leave the house. And once you have that type of a power as an abuser, you can use that to your advantage to get what you want, whether it's financial resources, whether it's a home done in a quick claim deed, all
yes.
sorts of different things. So we have to not only combat elder abuse, but we have to combat loneliness and dementia in elders and getting them the services that they need by reliable people. So it's kind of a two-prong thing. And we've come to the realization that by 2030, the numbers of older Americans over the age of 85, those most at risk for abuse, will more than double.
Wow. We're talking this morning. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on your line there. This morning to Diana Kretschmar. Diana is the health services liaison for three organizations here in Vancouver, the Fort Vancouver Convalescent Center, the Park Lido Assisted Living, and a place called Care Teak Memory Care. And we're talking about elder abuse, and the program is KBOO's very own Sounds of Awareness, and I'm Paul Van Dyke. So the thing, Diana, that brought this elder abuse business to mind was, you may remember, I think it's been several years ago now, they found this guy in a wheelchair at a rest stop someplace here in the mm-hmm. Northwest. And I'm not remembering the exact details, but I think it was somewhere along I-5 up here. And I could be uh-huh. wrong on that. But they found him sitting there in his wheelchair, all kind of bundled up and everything, and then they couldn't figure out where he was from. And when they finally identified him, it was one of his family members that just said, "I'm tired of dealing with you and changing your dirties and mm-hmm. worrying about your food and stuff like that. Here, just go away," and dropped him off at a rest stop by the freeway.
And we have incidences that range all the way from that. We also had a lady, I don't know if you remember, about 10, 15 years ago, that drove her elderly father, removed him from an assisted living facility, I believe in Hillsboro, and left him at a racetrack in Idaho with no identification, nothing. And so we have that abandonment. But we also have family members who, through neglect, we had a very prevalent case here in Clark County, the Kate McCarthy, who was convicted, I believe, of second-degree murder. I might not be accurate of what the conviction actually was, I believe it was a second degree murder charge. And what happened with her is through neglect of her elderly mother, who was left sitting in a chair, her mother died of her wounds that developed from lack of care. We had that case. And then we had the Pamela Leibel case in Clark County about 2 years ago, where this lovely young lady was living in a home up in Fisher's Landing at Fairway Village, a lovely retirement community, where she met a gentleman who offered to help her fix some home repairs at her house. Well, after all was said and done, he cleaned her out of over $1 million. This was a nationally recognized case. It actually appeared in USA Today because he had convinced her to give up all of her savings. She had a double mortgage on her home. She'd even pawned her wedding ring and was eating oatmeal at home because she couldn't afford food, because she'd given everything to this young man who she loved and trusted. And needless to say that this young man, the neighbors, who were what we call gatekeepers, people in the community watching out for each other. And this is so important for seniors, is to find gatekeepers or be a gatekeeper in your community where you keep an eye out for your seniors, where you keep an eye out for your neighbor. And through her neighbor's distinct concern about that she had no gas for her car, no food, the house was going into foreclosure, they contacted authorities. And through contacting authorities and getting the ball rolling, the investigation bore fruition where this man had taken all of her assets and all of her resources. We were able, through the help of agencies here in Clark County, to recover some of her money, to get the guy prosecuted, and he's now doing jail time, and to try to right some of the wrongs that this young man did to her. But some of the things she will never get back is her sense of trust. And the effects of elder abuse are horrific for those who've been abused. Elders who've been abused have a 300% higher risk of death when compared to those who've not been mistreated. Why likely it's underreported, elder financial abuse costs older Americans more than $2.6 billion per year. That and financial abuse, like Mrs. Leibel's, accounts for nearly 21% of the allegations of mistreatment investigated by APS. It's the third most common substantiated form of after neglect and emotional and physical abuse.
Do you remember? Do you remember a nursing home here in Vancouver, in the Vancouver area? And I won't mention its name. It's been closed now for quite some time. But friends of mine and I, as professional musicians, would sometimes donate our time to the various nursing homes and elder places, and go in and play. And this was down along the Columbia River. You probably know exactly where I'm talking
about. Exactly what you're talking about.
And you walked in the place, and as I've pointed out to some other people, you the minute you open the door, I have been in Greyhound restrooms that have smelled better than the hallways in that place. They closed it down because these people were, but it took them so long. It just seems like whenever you report abuse or neglect or anything like that, in fact, in my own family, we have an individual who was making literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, never really had a real job in his life, but always had money, and turned out to be one of the relatives who was a little bit dotty.
Absolutely. And, you know, in Clark County, I'm very proud to say that we are one of the most progressive counties in the state. As far as nursing homes go, that facility has been closed. And speaking for somebody who's worked in the nursing home industry for 22 years now, there are good facilities and there are bad facilities. And the bad facilities have a way of being out there, but they never stay long because the state of Washington is such a heavily regulated state that takes abuse and neglect very seriously. And I know that the company that I work for, they're very, very proactive and progressive in the fight against elder abuse, and making sure their facility lives up to our mission statement, which is compassion is our inspiration. So I think the nursing homes in Clark County have really risen to the occasion and have been huge supporters of being an advocate and taking good care of our seniors rather than being participatory in helping to perpetuate elder abuse. And then the second thing in Clark County that really makes us a very forward-thinking county is the Clark County Vulnerable Adult Task Force, which I'm a part of. This was created in 2004 after a number of local attorneys, social service agencies, law enforcement, and folks in healthcare realized that there were so many unmet needs in the community regarding elders and vulnerable adults. And so they formed a working group in 2004 to address issues of elder abuse. And they've expanded it into, in 2010, we have a website. You can look it up under Clark County VATF to educate people in the county about elder abuse and to provide resources to seniors in our community. We expanded bringing in even more private social service agencies. Adult care facilities are invited to participate, guardians, so they can hear what we're doing to combat elder abuse in their settings. We work with community leaders, law enforcement agencies, where we have now established the World Elder Abuse Awareness Day program that we have at Rudy Lupke Senior Center, and we'll have another one this year on June 15th, where we have invited seniors from throughout the community to have lunch and to be part of our program, where Representative Jim Moeller will be speaking. They will be, our seniors will be served lunch by all the mayors from all of the cities here in Clark County, police chief. It's just going to be a fabulous event. But all of these things came out of the Vulnerable Adult Task Force here in Clark County. I have had the privilege and honor of working very closely with some very instrumental people. Jessica Dimitroff and Jim Sinescu of Sinescu and Dimitroff Law Firm, who specialized in working with vulnerable adults who've been exploited and getting their resources back. Another one that's been hugely prominent in leading the fight against elder abuse is Jim David of the Clark County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. Them lending their support and making sure crimes are prosecuted has been instrumental in fighting elder abuse in our county. Detectives Jane Easter from Vancouver PD, Detective Kevin Harper from the Sheriff's Office, Detective Kim Armstrong from Battleground PD, Detective Carol Buck from Camas, and Detective Alan Cook from Washougal have all been instrumental of bringing our fight to law enforcement.
This is a This is a good point. At this point, I need to tell people that you're listening to KBOO's Sounds of Awareness. I'm Paul Van Dyke, and my guest, who has an awful lot to say on this topic, believe me, this is an easy interview because I don't even have to ask very many questions.
Oh.
Diana Kretschmar, she's the Health Services Liaison Person for Fort Vancouver Convalescent Center, Park Lido Assisted Living, and I got to get this right, Care Teak Memory Care. Here in the Clark County area. Now, because we have a national audience for this program, because we're beamed over the internet by several really excellent providers, the things that you're hearing now about Clark County may or may not apply to your own community wherever you're listening to this, and it would be a good idea for those of you who have interests along this line about what's happening to elderly, and I might add disabled people, some with very serious disabilities, fall into this category as well. And generally, abuse can be defined as anything from physical abuse, you know, letting somebody just lay in bed and get sores all over and not clean up, or mental psychological abuse. I guess, Diane, would that be like making little threats if you don't
going on when on your intro. If you notice, the person who was asking for the money became far more hostile. And with elderly folks, if you say to them, well, if you don't give me the money, I'm not going to come see you. If you don't do this for me, I won't take you to the doctor. If you don't do that for me, I'm just going to leave you here and nobody's going to come and visit you. These are the emotional strings that abusers tie an elderly person up with. Contact for somebody who's lost their functionality or ability to drive or ability to get around. People who've lost the ability to do functional things for themselves, such as their activities of daily living, who are dependent on somebody for assistance, can use that power of I'm here to help you in the negative and use that as a psychological or emotional weapon with our elderly. And you will see that with people who've been through abuse. is there is that power and control that the abuser has, and they wield it like an emotional cloth. And imagine what it's like for an elderly person who can't walk very great distances, mm-hmm. who doesn't have the eyesight to read or to drive, who's reliant on somebody to get their groceries or to help them in and out of the shower, assist them with their activities of daily living. And when you have a dependence on another person for your basic needs, for those who have poor intentions, it becomes, well, if you won't do this for me or you complain about that, I'm going to withhold that. I'm going to withhold the help. I won't come see you. You know, these are the things that happen. And that's what we're trying to tell everybody in the community, is that our folks have a voice.
Hello?
Yeah, Aunt Elizabeth?
Who is this?
This is your nephew, Bill.
Oh, Bill, what do you want now?
Well, gee, I was kind of wondering if I could borrow some money from you. I'll pay it back.
For what? I gave you $500 last week.
Well, I know,
you
but I'm
going to... You beat it out of me. You punched me in the nose and gave me a bloody nose, and I don't know if I want to give you any more money.
Well, Aunt Elizabeth, look, it was an emergency. I'm going to win it back. I mean, I'm going to earn it back this weekend.
What?
I'm going to earn it back this weekend.
Okay, we're going to try and catch up with that and continue the recording we were listening to. Hang on, please.
What we're trying to tell everybody in the community is that our folks have a voice.
Hello?
Yeah, Aunt Elizabeth?
Who is this?
This is your nephew, Bill.
Oh, Bill, what do you want now?
Well, gee, I was kind of wondering if I could borrow some money from you. I'll pay it back.
For what? I gave you $500 last week.
Well, I know,
you
but
beat
I'm going
to... out of me.
Okay, please bear with us. This recording seems to want to malfunction. So I'm going to let it play for a little while and find some music to take us to the bottom of the hour. Thank you. You're listening to KBOO. This is Health Watch, and it's Sounds of Awareness today with host Paul Van Dyke. They're talking about elder abuse and what people can do about it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, you old... You rotten old woman. Sometimes I really need...
I don't have any more money to give you.
Well,
just leave me alone.
Caregivers start with the best of intentions. They really do. But I see extreme caregiver burnout the more a family is dealing with a functional or cognitive decline, and they're trying to do all the caregiving and balance their life. You've heard of the sandwich generation, you know, families who have kids on one end and elderly parents on the other end, and they're trying to care for everybody. And sometimes caregiver burnout can become so prevalent that you become frustrated and you feel helpless as a caregiver. And when this starts to happen, your temper and things become shorter with the amount and the burden you're bearing. And sometimes abuse stems out of just absolute caregiver frustration. And they never went into it with the intention that this was going to happen. But it becomes a fact when you can't break away and take care of yourself as you're becoming a caregiver. And that's one thing we really work on, is talking to caregivers about take a break. You know, caregiver stress is stress is like the body's fight or flight response to danger. When the body goes on high alert to protect itself, and they'll know that they're getting burnout if they follow watching for the red flags.
Okay, on that point, and because we're running up against the clock here, okay. I just wanted to maybe address briefly the topic of like the adult family homes and things like that. Now, I have a relative who is in a home right now. It's a wonderful place. I can't think of any really negative thing to say about it.
Okay.
But it's $3,500 a month, which is mm-hmm. like 3.5 times my house payment.
Yeah.
They give her good care, but the woman is running out of money.
Well, and I think that we have to look at elder abuse prevention from earlier on. Educating seniors, professionals, caregivers, and the public on abuse is critical to prevention. And you're talking about a financial piece, such as what can you do to prevent getting caught up in, I need a lot of care, and how am I going to fund it, and protect myself from these things. And what we talk about in the prevention of elder abuse, I can't fix the Medicare Medicaid system. I can't make funding there at the federal or state level that's not there. But what I can do is teach seniors the most important things to prevent elder abuse, and that's take care of your health. Seek professional help for drug, alcohol, and depression concerns, and also urge your family members to get help for these problems. Attend support groups for spouses. Learn about services that support a spouse who has somebody who's failing. Stay active in your community and connected with family and friends. This will decrease social isolation, which has been connected to elder abuse. Don't give personal information over the phone. Know your rights. If you engage the services of a paid or family caregiver, you have the right to voice your preference and concerns. If you live in a nursing home, call your long-term care ombudsman. The ombudsman is your friend and an advocate and has the power to intervene. And then we can start working on issues at the federal level and the state level. But we have to eat this elephant one piece at a time. And what we're trying to do is combat things at the grassroots level and then try to make as much difference as we can in legislation, in other senior things to protect our seniors. And one of the things I might recommend folks exploring is the Elder Justice Act. And you can go online and look up the Elder Justice Act, and this is an act that they're trying to get passed in Congress for some protection for seniors. And I encourage folks to get some information on it. You can at the Elder Justice Now campaign, and there's a website for that. I think that would really help folks understand what can be done and what we're looking at on a national level.
Diana Kretschmar from she is the Health Services Liaison for Fort Vancouver Convalescent Center, Park Lido Assisted Living, and the Care Teak Memory Center. And see, I'm getting old because I have to have all this on paper in front of me.
I do too.
But we want to thank you very much for talking this morning with us on KBOO's Sounds of Awareness about elder abuse. Thank you again so much.
Thank you, Paul. And everybody have a very safe and happy day.
This has been Sounds of Awareness. For more information about our program and guests, please visit kboo.fm/soundsofawareness. Our screen reader-friendly website may be accessed at publicradio113.weebly.com. This program is independently produced for KBOO-FM by Paul and April Van Dyke. I'm Paul Van Dyke, inviting you to join us next time. Thanks for listening, everyone.